Before we start the show, we wanted to share our praise report. Yes, Jesus has been nominated for a GLAAD Media Award. This is the first time GLAAD has honored an outstanding podcast, and we are humbled and honored to be included in that list. This nomination means more people will be listening. So hello, new listeners. We are glad you're here. We pour our heart and soul into this podcast, and any help and support you can provide really makes a difference. If you are a GLAAD Media Award eligible voter, please consider Yes, Jesus. And if you aren't, now's a great time to share the podcast with a friend. Thanks to GLAAD for nominating us, and thank you, our listeners, for making this pod into a family. Now, on to the show. Hello, kings and queens and in-betweens, sinners, saints, and I don't know if I is or I ain't. Welcome to another moving and grooving episode of Yes, Jesus. I'm Daniel Frenzese, and as always, I'm here with my booty-shaking bestie.
Get down with the baby, Azariah Southworth.
Get down. Azzy, you're about to shake your booty, but hold those jiggles still, because first, we have to acknowledge that here at Yes, Jesus, we believe
King David is a dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17. I'm not done yet. Feel the beat from the tambourine. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Dance with somebody.
Yeah, shake it off.
Yes, shut up and dance with me.
I hope you dance.
Don't worry. We're going to shake our booties, talking about King David here in a little bit, right after
Queer Christian News. Joshua Bassett.
Oh, yes.
The outstar of High School Musical, the series, has sparked some concern among fans after going through with a baptism at a church that is known for its anti-LGBTQ words and statements and just everything. Social media fans found anti-LGBTQ statements, pro-Trump statements coming from Bethel Church in Redding, California. A lot of people sent messages pleading with Bassett to rethink his affiliation with the church.
Oh, yeah, Azzy, listen to a couple of these. Sir, why did you get baptized at a church that believes in conversion therapy and is pro-Trump? Or, Josh, please, that church supports conversion therapy and anti-mask ideologies. There's nothing wrong with being saved, but please find a different place to put your energy into that will use it correctly.
Bassett shared some religious and inspirational tweets, and he's assuring people that he's fine, but everyone is worried.
Well, eventually Bassett did distance himself from some of the church's more extremist stances. This is what he tweeted. I visited this church and happened to get baptized here. I was unaware of some of their policies and beliefs, and I do not endorse them all. My heart is for Christ and Christ alone.
You know, I'm very familiar with Bethel Church. When I lived in Nashville, I used to go to a church called Grace Center, and the pastor Bethel came and spoke. That's the world that I come from. It's part of the IHOP circuit, you know, like it's
IHOP.
Yeah, International House of Prayer. So like, oh, Monique Hart went
I'll
there.
I'll have the Rooty Tooty, fresh and fruity. But if you don't accept the Rooty Tooty, fresh and fruity, then I'm going to have to find a more affirming space.
Exactly.
A more affirming IHOP.
Exactly. I mean, Bethel Church has its own conversion therapy program. So they have an eye on Joshua, and I'm sure that they are seeing him as part of their Seven Mountain Mandate. This is a theology, okay? The Seven Mountain Mandate says this, that the church has to take over the seven social institutions, one of them being media. And so they see Joshua as part of their strategy to taking over the Seven Mountains is what they call it. So, Joshua, we come to you with concern. We come to you with knowing what that world, how it operates and what they are about. And they are about making you look and walk and talk like them and not like Jesus. So I hear that you have a heart for Jesus, and we respect that. I respect that. But there are spaces that you can enter that will affirm you, that will not try to change who you are and allow you to flourish in your love and your walk with God. And we just encourage you to find that space if you're listening, Joshua.
Yeah, we don't want you to be part of Militant Christian, the musical, yeah, the musical, the series, the musical.
Exactly.
Like, pull it together, honey. We're watching, yeah, out for you, and we are certainly, yeah, praying for you.
Yes, yeah.
Speaking of which, this is our praise report and prayer request section. We should definitely add a prayer in there for Josh. But I tell you right now, this is a great place where if you have a prayer, if you're a little something that's heavy on your heart, you can come to us, and we'll add it to our list. And our listeners, our Yes Jesuits, of it, so we'll also pray along with you. And then if you have something that you're just so excited about, like you just, your heart is so full, I just can't keep it in, I want to rejoice, I want to celebrate. Well, that's what a praise report's for. So let us know and we can also hallelujah along with you. But this first one here is a prayer request, and this comes to us from Lee. Lee says, so I have a praise and a prayer request in one. I see a twofer.
I love it.
I love a twofer. I was recently nominated for the Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching by my principal. Congratulations. And I am an openly transgender man. Wow. In the deep south of Arkansas. It gets better. Even getting nominated for this award is a huge deal. But I have almost finished my application to have a chance in the running to win the award. So I could use some prayer as I finish up my application and dream of winning such a prestigious award. This would not just be a win for me. It would be a huge win for the representation department, for all of my queer students that not only see me surviving as an educator in such a conservative space, but see me thriving. Love and peace, Lee.
Trans Lee, excellence.
Congratulations. First of all, snaps.
Yeah.
Gay snaps for you, because that's so great. We love to hear stories of queer excellence, like a presidential award for excellence in mathematics and science. That is so great.
I don't even know what half those words
it's in
mean.
Teaching. It's for teaching. We need important educators like you. You are a future. And to be a trans man and be in that position of prestige is so wonderful. And that is truly the definition of queer excellence. We are rooting for you. We're going to just slip a little plug in and hope you root for us that we win the GLAAD Media Award, because we're also nominated. Oh my God, it's a pleasure to be nominated. We should just fan ourselves at a table together in front of champagne. But I tell you, in the meantime, we'll be doing that in our brains as we're praying for you, because we really hope you get this, Lee. Congratulations. And honestly, it is an honor just to be nominated, to be up there with such prestige. And you are showing your representation and you are doing amazing things. So wherever it goes from here, it's in God's hands, but we're super proud of you. And we wish you the best, Lee. Azzy, we got a praise report. We got something to hallelujah about.
Let's do it. This comes to us from Chelsea. And it comes with a buy me a coffee donation. So thank you, Chelsea.
That.
Listeners, you can buy us a coffee if you want to support this podcast and keep it going like Chelsea.
Both Azzy and I are drinking, if you hear it. We're drinking coffee right now that came from you.
Well.
Just kidding, as I got the bill.
As someone who has always been in an accepting family but surrounded by New Age Pharisees, one remix I think no one wanted, this podcast reminds me that the new gen of Christians are bomb AF. That's what Chelsea says to us. So thank you, Chelsea. Thank you for that praise report, and thank you for the support. We greatly appreciate it. You are what keeps the show running, keeps the wheels on this bus going round and round. So thank you, Chelsea.
And Chelsea, we think you're bomb AF too.
Truly.
Thank you so much, you guys. You're bomb AF as well. And thanks for joining us here on Yes, Jesus. Listen, stick around, because we got more for you. There's lots more show to come right after this with the scripture of the day.
I'm Boss, and you're listening to Yas Jesus.
As it's time for the scripture of the day. Scripture of the day. The scripture of the day. Oh yeah, it's soul food. It's the scripture of the day. Azzy, tell me about it, baby.
2 Samuel 6:5. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. They had all the things.
They have all the things.
Did I say that word right? Lyres, lyres?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, all right. I'm into it. I don't know what that instrument that
lyres
is.
Lyres will make lyres out of lyres. I don't know.
But you,
this world
one.
Is stressful. So are words. Words are hard, Azzy. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is stressful, but occasionally we just need to like move our bodies, you know, so leave it all on the dance floor. God is a DJ, Azzy.
Yes, and you know what the queer community loves to do? Dance.
Oh, leave it all on the dance floor. That's right. You could be grinding. You could be rinding and grinding up in the club. You could be moving your hips to salsa because your hips don't lie. Or you could be doing a freaking waltz for all we care.
Yeah, who danced with the most abandon in the Bible? And let me make the case that it was King David. He danced so hard that he got a little scolded.
Oh, yeah. He was also stripped down in public, which must also be why he was scolded.
Remember, this is David the possibly bisexual, pansexual king of Israel. We have talked at length about his torrid affair with Jonathan. Look it up. It's hot and steamy. Go back to our episode, Danny. It seems appropriate that he would dance his ass off with all abandon because he is part of our queer community. So let's set the scene. King Saul and his son Jonathan have both died.
So we're in Brokeback Desert Mountain 2 right yes. now. The sad part has happened. So David is without the love of his life. It's super sad. He's sad boy David.
David is also now victorious in battle. He's been anointed king of Israel, and he's now bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem.
Now, this is sort of the biblical moment where Jerusalem becomes the capital of the unified kingdom of Israel.
Even while the Ark was traveling, it was being carried, David led a dance party. I'm going to read a little bit from 2 Samuel 6, but I got to warn you, there are some names in here. So, girl, wish me luck.
Good luck, Azariah.
Here we go. 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 5. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab.
Good job.
Thank you. Which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals.
First of all, Azzy, I think you got like almost the perfect score. Those are some fun names. We need to do an episode about the names, especially the biblical names that we don't hear that much anymore. But yes, David, dancing with all your might, dancing with the songs and dancing with all the instruments. You know, it's kind of like, leave it to a bisexual or a queer person just to throw a big tea dance whenever you need one.
That's what it sounds like to me, a pride parade. Dancing down the street with all your might, with music, songs, dancing with all our might while traveling and carrying a float.
Maybe David's march with the Ark might be inspiration for the modern pride parade.
First pride?
Okay, probably not. But that is fun to think about. If we're going to do perspectives, let's do perspectives. And when the dancing gets like really, really good, you know, and you get like all hot and sweaty and you start to strip a little bit, maybe shed some clothing, you know, shirt off on the dance floor. Maybe you know that you'll be dancing. So you put your gold booty shorts on and your mesh tank top because you know how good you look dancing up in that. But then even when the tank top gets too hot, you just pull it off and you dance with like as little covering as possible, Burning Man style.
Guess what? King David in the Bible did the same thing. So you are following the biblical example when you strip down and shake your groove thing, honey.
So important to know.
You hear that, queens? So 2 Samuel 6, 14 through 15. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet.
And for those of you that are looking at your dancing wardrobe and you don't see a linen ephod for your festival wear, we can enlighten you. An ephod is an apron-looking thing. It was worn by priests. We went into a Google rabbit hole on this. But for a long time, people said that the ephod was essentially a loincloth. So that's really hot.
Imagine our king warrior.
Very few things are as hot as a loincloth. David was pretty stripped down here. He was definitely, you know, giving us cuffing season, like gray sweatpants moment.
Other scholars say that the ephod wasn't worn alone. So it was just another layer of clothing over his other clothes.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
We parted a sea last week. The debate's open. You know, a lot of things could happen here, but there aren't a lot of clues in the text. So when David is more or less covered up, you know, if you're a dancer, you might appreciate less clothing. You know, I can't imagine someone just dancing in an apron.
Maybe
if the butt was out. The butt might be out.
Some people just wear aprons there.
It's true. The butt might be out.
Well, let's go down to the club next weekend wearing just an ephod, and then we can get our groove on, Danny.
I still had a hard time getting up tonight from wearing my ephod last night.
But just like a frenzy pride parade, not everyone appreciated this. There were some Judge Judys looking on and appalled, namely a lady named Michael. Let's take a look at what they had to say. 2 Samuel 6:16. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart.
Okay, but wasn't he married to Michael? He got married to Michael.
Okay.
Yeah, so Saul wanted to get David's attention away from Jonathan. And this,
oh, that's right.
And he said,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I, could,
yeah,
yeah. I finally yeah, yeah. figured out how I can make you my son-in-law. That always sticks out to me the most. I finally figured out how I can make you my son-in-law, meaning like he was never going to do it with Jonathan. That's how I see it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main – that line to me in the Bible – is one of the main indicators that this was a queer relationship. Mm-hmm. That along with, you're just like your mother to Jonathan. Like, who knows who his mother is? Maybe she was a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're bringing sin upon this family. Mm-hmm. And then also when he says, you're never going to become king and hanging out with that guy. Like, yeah. There's all these kind of indications. It sounds very like a parent who's like trying to be tolerant of this queer relationship, but just is like, you're going to ruin the family business. You're never going to be able to sell here at Auto King David's, you know? Like, so basically that's kind of like the situation that's going on here. So Michael despises him, but Michael was the one who protected him. She put down the black sheep's wool in the bed to pretend it was his hair, and then put an idol in the bed. And that old gag, this is probably the first time it ever happened, but she covered it like he was sleeping in the bed. And Saul said, you can hear all of this in our David and Jonathan episode, but Saul said, bring me the whole bed. Like, if he's sick in bed and I want to see him right now, bring me the whole bed. So Michael covered for him. But I still picture that Michael looked a lot like Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And the reason David was like, yeah, I could do it. Like, I pictured her looking almost identical to Jonathan. I mean, there wasn't a lot of lineage then. You know those families when you see them and they all look the same? Mm-hmm. He'd be like, oh, maybe I could get away with this. But all David did was hop out the window on Michael every night and run to Jonathan's, according to the Bible.
Yeah.
Yep. So now Jonathan's dead and he still don't want Michael. You know what I'm saying? And she is losing it watching him out there dancing at the tea dance. You know, she's like, my fucking ex-husband.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was like.
I think she's like super pissed. I mean, why would anyone be sad when you see someone rejoicing and dancing and having a good time? I think she's like, wow, like, you really just left me here and you're doing that. So I don't know what happened to, it doesn't really say in the Bible what happened to David and Michael's marriage, but I think, because I know eventually he has like seven wives, right? Like the story, and I don't know if Michael was still one of them, but like, I know that at this point she's not thrilled with him because he kept like ditching her for her brother who's now recently passed. But you know, we know that reaction when somebody is like kind of giving you that look, you know what I mean? Someone, when you're busting a move on the dance floor and someone gives you that side eye. I love the Maya song, if you have a chance. It's really good. It's a Maya tune from the early 2000s called Whatever Bitch. And she's like, you see me in the club, you rolling your eyes, whatever bitch. You know, like, there's one part where she goes, you're calling me a hoe, cause I'm trying to get my freak on, but bitch, we're in a club, what the hell did you expect? You know, so like, I see David's just like, I'm partying right now. I don't know what you expect, Michael, but I'm getting this on right now. So whatever, bitch, basically. Right.
We're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Get into it.
Yeah. Like, we're in a rejoicing mode. Like, whatever, bitch.
Right.
But you know, when you see someone and you get that reaction because people are just dancing crazy, like out there on the dance floor anywhere.
Yeah, on the sidewalk, your front yard, the food court of the mall, like,
you know, and they think that your moves are too vulgar, or like the song's too vulgar, or they think your clothes, or lack thereof in this case with that loincloth moment, are too suggestive, you know. Mm-hmm. They think you're making a fool of yourself out there. I say, you know, it's like the crazy cousin Alan at the wedding or whatever. I always say everyone should take a page at a crazy cousin Alan's book. Like, just go out there, you know, when you're at a wedding and you see someone dancing like crazy, everyone's whispering about them, look at him flailing his arms and da 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 da, but really, Alan's the one that's freaking living out there. You know what I mean? crazy cousin Barry, whoever it is, he's out there having a good time and living their life. Who cares what anyone else thinks?
You know, that reminds me of a TikTok video reel that I saw recently online of this kid. He looks like it's a Middle Eastern wedding, and the kid is just living his life. He's in the middle of the dance floor, just like his face is like just into it, and his arms are out, you know, and everyone's just kind of like, huh? You know, it reminds me of that. If you've seen
it's just
very
weird. People need to let it go. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, let your freak flag fly.
I could be a freak. I can be a freak.
Yeah, there are people who want to, you know, rip that freak flag down. Don't let them. You know, they will do it by talking about respectability. You know,
we don't do that around here, yeah, darling.
No. Yeah.
We don't dance in booties around here, darling.
And that's just what Michael does. She goes to King David to shame him for his dancing in the streets. 2 Samuel 6:21. Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, maids, and any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself."
Is that a read, Michael? Michael's trying to read? Okay, this makes it sound like David was more undressed even, by the way. So if Michael is complaining about his state of undress in front of his servants' maids, so, you know, it's another point for showing a little skin. He probably showed a lot of skin.
Yeah, but let's be clear here. Michael is the daughter of King Saul. Yes, the very king that David fought against and defeated to become king himself.
This also makes Michael the sister of Jonathan, which, as we discussed, but did she not like that they were hooking up? Like, was this like a big problem?
And she's also David's wife.
Yeah, David's first wife. So let's also make that clear, right? You know, he had a few we talked about.
This gets pretty complicated. It's like a telenovela, and we love the drama. So I'm going to go back to when David and Michael still met each other. Back in 1 Samuel 18:20.
Brokeback Mountain Part 1. Diddly.
Michael is already in love with David, but David's already been canoodling with Jonathan. Really, the first verse of chapter 18 starts with, "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself."
It still shocks me that this is how it's written in the Bible. For all of you who really don't think that there's queer stories in the Bible, go back and read 1 Samuel.
It's giving queer love.
It's giving queer love. Love.
Yeah. King Saul said David could take Michael as his wife, but demanded a gift of 100 foreskins from the Philistines. Saul did this because he thought no person could collect 100 foreskins without getting himself killed.
Okay, I'm a little bit skeptical of that part too, because I also feel like if you touch 100 dicks, you're not going to want my sons. Like, it seems like a job, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I said to you, if I'm like, damn, he's eating all the eggs for breakfast, like, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to eat 100 plagues of eggs. You know what I mean? By the time you get back, you're going to be like, oh, I've seen enough eggs.
Yeah.
But what happens? I don't know if he knew about queers are always hunting foreskins all day long. I mean, that's basically what I was doing in London. But let's get this clear. Look, Michael and David's wife, right? Michael was David's wife, but David overthrew her father and he was killed in war. And David was also having some sort of affair with her brother, or at least like a bromance. And David comes dancing into the city all triumphant. So maybe all this disgust wasn't just being the morality police. She wasn't being a Karen about it. But maybe there was some complicated feelings wrapped up in Michael's statement to David.
And what was David's response to Michael? He read her to filth.
Ooh, the library's open.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
Because reading is what?
Fundamental. 2 Samuel 6:21 through 22. David said to Michael, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel. The people of the Lord, I will dance before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be humbled in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor."
Oh, dang, that's right. No slut shaming for shaking your groove thing. And you know what? That had real impact on Michael. Mm-hmm. Verse 23 said just this: Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child the day of her death. Mm. To the day of her death.
She shut that womb right up with his words.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I feel like she just kept a hope in him. You know, she was like that sad casualty of a gay relationship sometimes when you're not allowed to be who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't come after the dancers. When we are in the spirit and getting all hot and sweating, peeling off some clothes so we can move even freer, We are following the biblical example because God is about liberation.
Funny thing, I think I got pregnant from that story. Like, you know, we are emulating King David and dancing like no one's watching tonight, you know? Or they're watching and maybe you just need to put on a show.
Yeah.
I think you need to get out there and get on the dance floor. There's been sometimes, especially what we've talked about, the importance of the sanctity of queer spaces and mm-hmm. like of clubs and stuff. Mm-hmm. We recently had an episode about that. And I always think about that. I remember the moment, truly, when I turned around one day and I'm like, everybody here is gay or gay affirming, and we're all dancing on the dance floor and we're all vibing to the same song, and nothing feels as good as being in this place right now on this dance floor. And I remember feeling that in my youth and trying to recapture that on weekends when I go out instead of being an old bitter queen. But every once in a while, I have a moment. I remember a Pride in San Francisco dancing at the Eagle in red light with a leather daddy and being mm-hmm. like, I'm transported to the 70s right now. And mm-hmm. I really feel the spirits of our ancestors and like the spirit, mm-hmm. you know, dancing and music are gifts that God have given us, like to be able to rejoice, to be able to feel free. So we want to challenge you that when you get out there, just have a little bit of dance in your life. Just like really just shake your groove thing. Really get out there and let it go. And that actually is going to be our tithe, love offering, charity, act of good we're asking of you this week.
That's right. Allow the Lord to transcend you, honey. Let the music carry you into the arms of Jesus.
If you need some advice, we did an episode about secular songs that we use for replacements, or not replacements, but they also could kind of add to a little bit of our spiritual praise and worship. Like, I feel like there's tons of songs out there, you know. I want to praise you like I should. You know, there's a bunch of songs you can get out there and just dance to.
I mean, we have a Yes Jesus playlist that has some of those songs on it.
Yeah, we're going to put that in the show notes for you this week, because if you need some help getting your groove thing on, then we're here for you. Yeah. You know?
Spread some joy, dance in public, bring out your favorite tunes, and stand outside or in a mall if it's too cold outside and start dancing. Invite others to dance with you. Let other people get into the good fun of moving our bodies out in public.
I love that Ross thinks people still go to malls. You know, if you can, send us some photos or some videos of you dancing that we can share on social media. May I suggest this, Michelle Williams, When Jesus Says, Nobody Can Say No. I can't even keep my feet still to that one. And, you know, so please send us some videos. Like, you have followers, but if your followers are not actively engaging with you and learning from each other and vibing regularly, then you don't have a community. So reach out to us, send us that kind of stuff. We just want to know who you are and we want to feel your presence. You know, and listen, hey, we want to spread the love to other queer Christian music and artists too. So if you're a queer Christian musician, you got a song you want us to shake our groove thing to, send it to contact@yashjesuspod.com with a link to where we can find an MP3 file of the song you want us to consider. And we promise Azzy will dance to it and booty shake in a loincloth.
And you'll regret it.
This brings us to our closing prayer. You guys, we have more drag queen prayers. Yash Jesus was at RuPaul's Drag Con UK in London. While we were there, we got some holy prayers from some divine drag queens. And today, we're going to open our prayer segment with a prayer offering by Boss.
I pray that everyone has the confidence in themselves to just do what they want to do, be who they want to be with no questions asked, and just feel safe in their environment and with their chosen family. Just know that things will get better, and it may seem like there's a really hard, bumpy road ahead, but I promise you, going through that will make you the person you are. Say yes to things, say no to things, but own it when you do. And just don't be afraid to be different and be you, and just step out of that and just be amazing. Amen.
We love Boss. Boss has Boss Brunch out there in London. And if you happen to be out in the UK, if you happen to be in the London area, you need to check out the amazing drag brunch at Boss Brunch. It's so fun. And Boss is this amazing genderqueer performer who's just there to celebrate all of us. And it's just so fun. So go check that out. Thank you, Boss, for being a part of this week's prayer. You know, we want to pray for all you booty shakers out there. God, Heavenly Father, we want to pray for everyone. We want to pray for people to get into the groove, to feel the spirit. We want to make people move their bodies, appreciate them. Don't let dancers be shamed. Leave shame at the door. Don't let anyone tell us to put our lights out and put them under a bushel. Let us move and groove our bodies with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and we pray for Joshua Bassett, that he finds a place that will love and accept him for the beloved child of God that he is. And we pray with Lee to first offer praise at his presidential award and also prayers for the application process. Lift Lee up to be a leader. Finally, we give thanks with Chelsea for the next generation of Christians. They are amazing and keep raising up the next generation. We give thanks in all of this. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Thank you so much, Azzy. And thank you all of you for listening to another episode of Yash Jesus. You can find us on social media at Yash Jesus Pod or on our website at yashjesuspod.com. Now, if you like the show, tell people about it or make a donation or buy us a coffee button that's right on the webpage. You consider becoming a monthly sponsor. You can find the link to do both of those things in the show notes. And if you haven't yet, leave us a review. Share us with a friend. Doing so helps us reach new people and keep this show running.
You can now leave an audio prayer request or praise report on our website, yasjesuspod.com. We would love to share your voice and your prayers on the show, so drop us a line and stop acting like you don't know where it's at. And send us a recording on yasjesuspod.com.
That's right. You ain't brand new. Send us your praise reports, your prayer requests, your episode ideas, your guest ideas, or even just that. That's right. We'd love to hear from you. Yash Jesus is hosted by me, Danny Franzese. And as always,
Azariah Southworth. Music, sound, editing, and all things audio are done by Chris Heckman. Our show is produced by the freaking Deacon Ross Murray and Meredith Pauly.
And we're streaming and screaming on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And whether you dance or not, God loves you just as you are.
So keep shaking them feet and praising them, Lord, y'all.